Joe and I were talking a little bit ago, and I said, guess who ran off and left their tablet? So technology is good if you remember to keep it. You know what's hilarious? We can say, well, you should need to go back to the old Bible. Well, just keep in mind, this was new technology at one point. Because as David said, your word have I hid in my heart. Not your word I keep in a scroll on the back. But praise God, we have these. We are privileged to read these. As I remember, I was always good at English class. I don't know why I hated it so bad. I just did not like English class. But we read the book, Fahrenheit 451. Anybody else read it? A couple of you. You remember what it's about? And what temperature does paper burn? 451 degrees Fahrenheit. But one of the books that they were having so much reverence for, something they would sneak around, was the Bible. I remember thinking back then, there's no way we'll ever come to a day when the Bible will be pulled from this country. And yet, many places it's being pulled. Unfortunately, some of them are the church, because people are creating their own interpretation. They've taken the blood out of the Bible. They've taken the sacrifice that Jesus paid. Many Christians today don't realize Jesus was a Jew, which is not a good thing, because those are some of the same people that hate Jews. But this morning, as I was asking God some things about this weekend and what to minister today, he just kept taking me back to a passage of Scripture. So we're going to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. It starts out in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, we want sometimes feel like God doesn't love us. Well, typically it's because we're not obeying God. He said, my commandments. I always told you before, because somebody told me a long time ago, if you feel like God is so far away, guess who moved? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Remember, joy is something that can't be taken from you because it's not based on your surroundings. Happiness is, right? You see somebody that's all down in the face and that's because they're going through something. But you find somebody who has true joy. They're the little boy that opened up the room and it's neck high in horse poop. And he's excited. Why? Because he doesn't see the poop. He sees what made the poop. There's got to be a pony in there somewhere. He finds joy in that. And there's been things throughout my life that I just always expected the better. Unfortunately, when it came to people, I'd had not bad experiences, but I've had some. But bad mindsets passed down. I believed the worst in people before I ever believed the best. I was waiting to pull the knife out of my back. You know, and so I praise God for my wife. She has taught me to believe the best in people. And so I give people that. But when you violate, no. But our joy is not based on how people are treating us. Our joy is in knowing that our Heavenly Father sent his Son. The crucifixion, you know, again, the pictures we've seen, the crucifixes, oh, he's got some scrapes on him. He's got a wound here in his side. And he just looks so pitiful. But the reality was he was ripped open. He was naked. He was shamed for us. We don't have to take that shame. So many people believe that, and I don't know what to believe about the judgment, because reality, I'm not there. That all of our sins are going to be laid out. Well, Revelations talks about some of this, but if God forgave it, the only person that can bring it up is the devil. Because my Bible says he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And if you've ever done any traveling, you know east never meets west. You're always going in that same direction. North and south is different. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not the person that you're married to, not your children, your grandchildren, or even your bestest of friends. That you love one another. The person across the aisle that you don't know. Do you love them the same way God loved you? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. See, this holiday is remembering those who laid down a life. Well, Jesus did that too. Jesus also says, the Father has loved me, I have loved you. I personally feel there's something more in there God wants to tell me about that. But right now, I can tell you, having been in those shoes, or in this case, boots, there's a different sense of the sacrifice that's made. Before I enlisted, I had one concept of the military. When I was in, and now, I have a totally different concept. I know the price. I didn't give up. I didn't die. And if you served and you're in here, praise God. I know we have several. Some who have still bear the scars. But there's a price that was paid. And it means so much more. That's why these days mean so much to me. That we remember all. We remember what Jesus did. Before we knew Christ, we had no idea. I'm going to tell you right now, I know more about what Christ did now, but because I enlisted. Because I know what he had to give up. He gave up everything. They say there's, in this country, there's only two people that have ever given their life for you. Jesus and the veterans. It's because they found something greater. When I enlisted, I didn't enlist because of a greater purpose in my life, that I felt called to storm the beaches. I needed a job. And oh, what a job I got. But what I learned was to love people who were total jerks. I mean, come on. Some of them you didn't dare turn your back on. We had one guy before we were out of boot camp 2 months. He was in jail and on his way out for stealing. He'd been stealing our stuff through boot camp. Got into combat training and he was stealing our stuff then. It doesn't change everybody. But those who do, they understand that freedom. When I was growing up, I was 8 years old, 8, 9 years old when my parents got saved. God delivered my dad from alcoholism and drug addiction. Same thing for my mom. Because that life was not pleasant. If you ever grew up with alcoholics. I had no idea what sin was. I'm 9. What have I done? I stole a pack of Hubba Bubba from Murphy Mart in Mount Vernon. That's a throwback. I got my rear end tanned, and I didn't even get to eat the gum. At that point, I didn't know. So I grew up in church. Grew up looking across the people. I'm higher than you. I'm mightier than you. Got a little pretentious. I didn't know what that was like to come in broken. Till God let me get broken. And what getting broken taught me was compassion. Something I was missing. I know a lot of people that are like that. Compassion is missing in their lives. We want to pass judgment on people. Well, why can't you get free? Jesus paid the price. Yes, he did. But even my freedom comes at a price. Bible tells me to crucify my flesh and daily if needed. We forget that. We forget that even today for our freedom to sit here, that there are men and women all around this globe, on ships, on bases on foreign soil, some in scenarios that your government denies are even happening. And they happen all the time. Somebody's paying that price right now. Sounds like a little kitten. Somebody's paying the price for us to be here. I think there's 5 of us in here. Pat's not, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, Pat's still in the bag. So there's 5 of us in here who have firsthand knowledge. And I know of at least one who has some serious firsthand knowledge of the price that's paid. See, those disciples that were with Jesus, they had some firsthand knowledge. They may not have been right there. John was the only one at the cross. Peter was there watching this whole thing. He denied Jesus. And then many of the theatrical dramatizations of this, I've seen many of them, that the third time he looks across and there's Jesus. Talk about a stab to the heart. You just denied a man who took your place. Peter would later go on to preach the gospel to Gentiles, to found many churches, to preach the gospel, even to the point where he was crucified. And he said, I am unworthy to be crucified as my Lord. So they said, fine, we'll hang you upside down. Freedom means something different when you've been delivered, doesn't it? Those of you who have had addictions, doesn't mean you don't fight them. It means freedom has another flavor. You don't know the freedom of the or the value of freedom of speech until you're told you cannot speak your mind. You do not have a right. We will tell you what to think and to say. And by the way, if you are one of those weird people that want martial law, you're nuts. Because that's what it is. In the military, I understand. I understood that what I was saying was not good for the goal. I had to learn to change my mind and to accept those things I couldn't change, which was a lot. And to fight through the things that I didn't like. No greater love has no one. So don't sit there and say, well, that brother, this ain't got nothing to do with military. It says no one. Is there anybody excluded? Do we have anybody who's an English major or anything? Because in my simple understanding of the word no one, there's no one excluded. No man, no woman has any greater love. Mamas, it's like looking down at your baby. Oh, they just went back to feeding. You'd give everything for that baby. You become a mama bear. Something in you changes. You know, before you got pregnant, you were, oh, just this. And now, that's my baby. That's my cub. Thank God, papas, we're not like the bears. Male bears are awful things. One thing on there, two things, eating and procreation. But I can tell you right now, I remember being in Ryan's shoes, just bringing that baby home. I dare you to cross the line. You will find something that you've never found before. You will wish that a honey badger got hold of you. Because you don't touch my child. See, that's what we're missing. We're missing the love of the Father in the church. We don't comprehend what God did, how God feels about us. And when he looks down at us and we're holding other people in unforgiveness, or we're jealous of others, or we're backbiting, it breaks his heart. But he's looking down. He's here and he's saying, I drew the line. I will rip you limb from limb. Do not touch my children. We're free will. We have a right to choose. We have a right to make decisions. We also live with the consequences of those decisions. Don't care what you think. If you think I'm crazy, okay, it's free will. Go up on top of the barn or the building here and jump off. Tell me you're not going to get hurt. Oh, it's going to hurt. Trust me. I've done some stupid things like that. It hurts. We do things to ourselves. I don't want to hurt anybody. I really don't. Never did. I remember my mom asked me, said, can you kill somebody? I'm still at Paris Island. I ain't graduated yet. Can you kill somebody? I said, it can't make me kill anybody. And it can't. But I sure can defend my family, my brothers in arms. I can flat out do that. But it's not because I wanted to kill people. When you want to kill people, you might need to take a step back. I don't believe anybody who's ever had to go in wanted to. Vietnam, many of these young boys, average age was 19. Think about that. Most of them, what they got for a graduation gift was a one-way ticket to Vietnam. And yet, we forget. They were boys. The vast majority of our military. I'm in that weird zone right now in my life. I'm not really an old man, but I'm not a young man. And it's not middle age because I don't know that I really want to be 110. So it's a weird spot to be in. But if you consider that a 39-year-old is retiring, but that 39-year-old looks like he's 50. And if they go the extra 10 years, then do 30 years. They're 49. I'm still older than that. Downside is they're usually dead within 10. The price that is paid, that started to be paid way back in 1775 when they began recruiting for this country. And in 1776, we sent a nice little letter. Declaring war and freedom. At that time in life, nobody expected the United States to succeed. As a matter of fact, the British government was sending out word throughout the world that we were an anarchist country. I just read about this today in a letter of Thomas Jefferson's from 1787. In which he said, the tree of liberty must be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants from time to time. I may have got a little backwards, but it does. Ladies and gentlemen, we're called as Christians to die to ourselves, to make that sacrifice. Not just for our children, but for others. The sacrifice made by every man and woman that ever died in this country, which is 1,190,000 people have died in defense of this country. And on top of that, there's 1,200,000 wounded. And since the founding of this country, over 41 million people have served. All for the sake of liberty. So that you and I aren't being judged and criticized because we believe in God. Or because you got curly hair, I got straight, I'm better. You're tall. You're better. You believe in a God. You're crazy. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, when John wrote this about the brethren, he's actually talking right there within your church. If you come into the church seeking what position you're going to get, I will speak to you plainly right here, right now, about this church. If you come in seeking a position, you will not get it. I've had people wanting them. Brother, I got this gift. Well, I'll tell you what. How about you greet people at the door? Oh, no, that's not my gift. It's not what I said. I don't need you up here prophesying over people yet. We have a standing policy in this church. You want to become a part of the church? 6 months of faithful attendance. Well, what's that for? That's so I can figure out who you are. Whether you're a sheep in wolf's clothing or you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Who are you? Did you lay down your life? When somebody comes in and says, Pastor, I want to serve. Put me where you need me. Those are the ones that I usually find do better. But so many people come in and they want their own thing. They want to be glorified. Oh, but brother, I want to preach. Well, I'll tell you what, sit down for a little bit. Let me test you. Oh, you ain't got no right to test. Yeah, I do, because I started this church. You don't like it, there's the door. Look around. Oh, you're a jerk. I've been telling you that for 24 years. She's been telling me that for 35. No, 30. I can absolutely be a jerk. You can too. We all can be jerks. But the reality is, the people that I allow to minister in here, the people that the Holy Spirit tells me to put in places. Well, why aren't I in a position yet? Because the Holy Spirit ain't said so. I started talking to one person one time about a position. Oh, I ain't got time. I ain't got time to do that. I said, well, I wasn't offering you the position. First, right, I ain't got time. Okay. But God told me already who to put in that position. And when I did, that person got mad at me because I didn't give it to them. Did you fall down, hit your head? You just told me you didn't have time. And I don't listen to what you say. I march when God says march. I appoint who God says to appoint. I realize I keep it simple. I'm a simple person. I understand what it takes. Doesn't mean I understand all things. God forbid that. How would I ever learn? If I've got the mindset that I already know everything, how am I learning? Our lives are constantly learning. Just like I said this morning, it wasn't too many years ago, even in this country, this was new technology. Now, right here, I can look up anything. I can speak to it. And don't talk. There's certain girls' names that will open this up. And it starts with an S. And if you say, seriously, it unlocked. She will say, uh-huh. No, I didn't say your name. I said this. Technology changes. Don't tell me you're not learning something new. How long ago? I remember, oh, they're going to send up the space shuttle. I remember being so excited. Yeah, that's old news, old technology now. We're not even interested in that. Now they can land these rockets. Man, they used to let them things fall in the ocean and go pick them up. Now they can bring them right back. Supposedly we got a rover on Mars. I don't know. Could be out in Arizona for all I know. That's one theory. I don't know. I just know we do have so much technology. The sad part about most of our technology, it's created for the destruction of mankind. GPS, you love it, don't you? Star Wars Defense Initiative. That was its base. They got all them satellites up there. Dynamite. How many of you know the story on that? He won the Nobel Peace Prize. Don't remember his name. But he wanted to show how bad warfare was. And you know what every military commander saw? A better way to kill people. Drones. Oh, yeah, look, I can fly this little thing around. Man, somebody sitting in the middle of the desert flying a plane over on the other side of the world. We no longer have to see the terror, experience it. So we no longer feel the compassion. Laying down our lives sometimes looks like, you know what? I have the right to park in that spot, but I'm not going to. I'm going to let somebody else have that spot. And thanks to my truck being a little longer, I always park out in Egypt now. Because for some reason, I can't seem to park straight anymore. Plus, it gives me a little walking in. But we know love because he laid down his life. I know that the men and women throughout the years who have laid down their lives, it was Ronald Reagan who said it, that the young men who went off to fight in battles, they gave up two lives. The life they were living and the life they could have lived. And remember, Vietnam, that average age was 19. They had the entire world in front of them. Justin's age. World War II was totally different. We had kids, I mean, literal kids, there were some 13-year-olds allied. And they were such a hurt for men that they took them. And I think well into their 40s, almost 50s. Well, I know it was 50s because I learned of a Marine recruit who was in his 50s. He was twice as old as his drill instructor. But he wanted to do something. And here the visitors hall at Parris Island is named after him. They knew something about laying down their lives to defend something. But on the other flip side of that coin, is that 480,000 American deaths, something like that, in 4 years. Bloody battles. And folks, people can say what they want. If it wasn't for this country, the rest of the world would have fell. England was hurting. And nobody was stopping Japan. Except for some redneck hillbillies who dared to say, God is my God. And I'll help you. That's what we remember this holiday. The sacrifice made. And that saying, all gave some, yeah. We've all got the either broken bones, scars, torn body parts, but some gave all. So Joe, if you'll call the kids in. We're going to do a little video presentation because I'm going to go to a cemetery for a Memorial Day presentation there. But our freedom was secured by blood, whether it was through Jesus Christ or a veteran who died. I read the book, Flag of Our Fathers. It was written from firsthand experience of Iwo Jima. And in that, he kept talking. He would remember the cries. Remember, some of these boys were 18. Some of them were younger. And when they got on Iwo Jima, they had no idea what was really there. They'd been bombing it for 70 days. Every day. There were over 700 naval vessels involved. The U.S. Army Air Corps bombed it. Navy ships sat out there and they blasted it with Volkswagens. That's ships the size of a Volkswagen. Or bullets. And they didn't touch it. It was so well reinforced. And when they got there, they were met with a fierce fighting force. I'll stop right there. Because there was more to it. But we're going to play a video today. And I want you to remember what it's really about. I'm going to have a picnic tomorrow. But I'm going to have it because somebody died.
Mama's sitting there. Looks like I only got a one-way ticket over here. I sure wish I could give you one more kiss. And war was just a game we played when we were kids. Well, I'm laying down my gun. I'm hanging up my boots. I'm up here with God and we're both watching over you. So lay me down in that open field out on the edge of town. And know my soul is where my mama always prayed that it would go. If you're reading this, I'm already home. If you're reading this, halfway around the world, I won't be there to see the birth of our little girl. I hope she looks like you. I hope she fights like me. Stands up for the innocent and the weak. I'm laying down my gun. I'm hanging up my boots. Tell Dad I don't regret that I followed in his shoes. So lay me down in that open field out on town. And know there's gonna come a day when you move on and find someone else, and that's okay. Just remember this, I'm in a better place, where soldiers live in peace and angels sing amazing grace. So lay me down in that open field out on the edge of town, and know my soul is where my mama always prayed that it would go. If you're reading this, I'm already home.
I ordered 200 hand-forged knives to my dorm room.
Just a little reminder, freedom isn't free. It costs somebody something. Your salvation, your freedom from sin and death cost God his son. Your freedom here, just a show of hands. Who has a military member who died in battle? Okay. A few of you. Lives were altered. I challenge you this Memorial Day holiday. Be the type of American that was worthy of their sacrifice. Because even in Afghanistan, they weren't that old. They were boys, by my standard. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you first and foremost for the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made so that I may be free from sin and death. And Father, I thank you for the sacrifice of every man and woman throughout our country's history who died serving and protecting on any level. Lord God, I thank you. I know over time it took some time to heal those wounds, the missing person at the table. We thank you, Father, that we can remember these sacrifices made. Lord God, I bless those families. And I thank you for that. And Lord God, I thank you for your people today. Lord God, I bless them. I ask, Father, that through this holiday, we remember with great honor and respect, the price paid. In Jesus' name, amen.